We settled into armchairs in a cozy living room. Politeness required that I not plunge immediately into questions about Ezra Pound and Olga Rudge, so I asked about St. George's Church. "Oh, we're very low-key," he said, "very small-scale." He took a sip of his martini and paused to savor it. "The Anglican ministry here is a retirement post. There's no salary. We live free in this house, and we get utilities and medical insurance." "When do you have services?" I asked. "Sundays. Matins at 10:30, Holy Communion at 11:30. "No evensong?" "Not regularly." Reverend Jim swirled his drink pensively, no doubt recalling how, at some defining moment long ago, he had faced up to the necessity of choosing between evening prayers and cocktails, and chosen cocktails. "How large is your flock?" I asked. "We get 25 to 50 on Sundays," he said, "mostly visitors, but if you're asking about permanent resident members," he thought for a moment, "oh, I'd have to say we have no more than 6, including Dora." He smiled benignly. "And of those 6, most don't come on a regular basis." "So you have an intimate parish," I observed. "Yes, but it's a good ministry. We enjoy much more prestige and status here than we deserve. We're always invited to cultural events and RC events. I usually wear my clerical collar when I leave the house, even when I'm not on official business, to let people know I'm here, fly the colors, show the cloth. That's my purpose, really, to be here if I'm needed. I like to think of St. George's as an ecclesiastical convenience store." Nearby church bells started pealing and were answered by another bell farther away. Reverend Harkins cocked an ear. "Salute in Jesuati." "Oh, no, Jim," said Dora. "I don't think we can hear Jesuati from here. It would have to be the Redentore." "Right, right," he said. "Let me ask you something," I said. "How well did you know your former next-door neighbors, Ezra Pound and Olga Rudge?" Dora perked up at this. "Well, Pound died years before we got here," she said. "And Olga was living up in the Tyrol with her daughter, Mary de Rockavilts. But the minister who was here just before us knew Olga very well and told us about her. She was tiny as a bird, delightful. She had sparkling eyes, and even in her 90s, she wore very stylish clothes. She took an interest in everyone. She was curious about everything. But, you know, Venice is a terrible place to grow old in." "Why?" I asked. "Old people have a harder time getting around here than anywhere else, because nobody can pick them up and drive them door to door the way they can in other places. You have to walk. You have no choice. And that means you have to climb over 2 or 3 bridges every time you go out. Even if you could afford water taxis, you'd have to walk to a place where a taxi could pick you up, and then you'd have to walk from wherever it dropped you to wherever you wanted to go." "We love Venice," said Jim, "but we'll have to leave as soon as we have trouble getting over the bridges." "Catherine, the minister's wife, would check up on Olga at least once a day," said Dora. "Sometimes twice, just to see if she was all right. But, you know, at her age, there were times she'd become confused. It got to the point that Olga needed constant care, and that's when Mary came and took her back to live with her. That's where Olga was when she died." "No one is more vulnerable in Venice than old people living alone," Dora went on, "especially foreigners without family to look after them. They become dependent on outsiders. They have to put their trust in them. I'm told that's what happened with Olga, and that's when all the trouble started." "What trouble?" I asked. "I'm not very clear about it," said Dora, "because it happened just before we got here. It seems that some friends of Olga's who'd been very kind to her for years gradually became deeply involved in her affairs. Olga had boxes full of letters and other documents, thousands of letters between her and Ezra Pound, and letters from dozens of other famous people. Some of the letters were valuable, some weren't, but before anyone knew it, the papers were gone.